My name is Robert Sokovitz, and I'm here with Christine James. She coordinates library and media services for Charleston County Schools. She graduated with a master's degree from the School of Library and Information Sciences in 2016, and today we'll be talking about her thoughts on literacy. Okay, so I guess it's safe to ask, like, you love to read, right?
Of course, I've always been a reader, and it is exciting to be in a profession that is grounded in literacy, but I think you'll hear a lot of librarians say that even though the perception is we just sit around and read all day, we have very, very little time to read on the job. But I would say outside of work hours, that's probably one of my favorite things.
I love it. Do you have any recommendations for or what you're reading currently?
Oh my goodness. Okay, I just finished Pumpkin, which is by Julie Murphy. It's the third of her series. It's all set in Clover City, Texas, and you just need to know that there's drag and Dolly Parton and promposals, and it is the most amazing high school romance, and I loved it.
It sounds amazing. Okay, so you've loved reading for a long time. I'd love to know, like, how did that love of reading take you to the School of Library and Information Sciences? Like, what was your journey?
I'd always wanted to be an educator. So right from high school, I was one of the few people who knew exactly what I wanted to do when I went to college. And then I went and I got a degree in education, and I actually taught. I was in the classroom for 17 years. I taught middle school language arts and social studies. So of course, very literacy focused areas. And I actually, when I was working in Wilmington, North Carolina, Jennifer Lagarde was my librarian. So I got to collaborate with her a whole lot. So yes, AKA library girl. When she was a librarian, we worked together, and I just saw the whole world open as far as, oh gosh, you get to work with kids, you get to promote books and literacy, you get to work with teachers, you get to be in on all the technology. It was kind of everything I loved about teaching, everything I loved about working with other adults, everything I loved about books, all together in one job. So when I saw her in action, I just was mind blown. Oh, this is how I can do everything I really want to do all in one place.
Moving on to your time at the School of Library and Information Sciences, can you give us an idea of what it was like? I've heard remote learning was also popular.
Yes, it was. And that was definitely one of the things that attracted me to the program, knowing that I could teach full time, pursue my master's. It helps that, of course, USC was a nationally ranked program. And what I came to realize when I was in the program was that as far as school librarianship goes, they have dedicated faculty specifically for that. Lots of programs offer a school library track, but there's not the dedicated people who have served as school librarians who are really truly working with the folks on that track to become school librarians. And that was a huge, huge benefit. It was definitely eye-opening. I hadn't ever done any kind of remote learning before, but they kept saying, well, no, this is what you're going to be doing. And it actually turns out that, yes, a lot of collaboration from the library is back and forth via email. It was really, really good prep for the job. And I loved it.
That's amazing. You mentioned that you loved the fact there were dedicated professors. Is there anyone who you especially remember fondly? Or
oh, gosh. I loved Dr. Gavigan. So it's really exciting to hear about her new role with the iSchool. But she took over as my advisor shortly after I entered the program. And she was just amazingly, amazingly supportive. And then even after I graduated, she was always helpful, always willing to still answer questions. And then when I moved into this role with the district, I've gotten to work with her in some different capacities.
Do you remember any classes you took with her, or was it chiefly the advising experience?
I think it was 742. It was the curricular role of the school librarian, and we were putting together a big unit, and I had lots of questions as I was going through it because I wanted it to be exactly right. But that was also an exciting class because I was starting to see how what I was doing as a teacher translated to what I would be doing as a librarian and how important that instructional component is.
I know you spoke about remote learning. Did you ever visit Davis College?
The first time I went to Davis College was actually for my orientation to before I was going to do my internship, and I first have no sense of direction, so everything that was sent to me was super helpful as far as where to park and how to get across campus. Davis College is just so sweet, just there. I don't know exactly where it is, but I know I wandered to it. But that was the first time. Since then, I've gotten to go there for orientations. We have a cohort partnership with the university, our school district and the university. And so I've gone there for orientations with some of our cohorts. I've gotten to go and celebrate hooding ceremonies with folks. So it's definitely a place that makes me think lots of joyful memories.
You mentioned the cohort partnership. Could you elaborate a little on what that is?
It is definitely one of the things I'm proudest to be involved with in my current position. When I first came on, I started talking with our head of human resources, Bill Brigman. So we were looking at what had been currently opening, and then we were looking at the next school year going, oh gosh, we've got 18 openings. So we were looking at the idea of being able to grow our own librarians. So looking at folks who were already teaching in CCSD and looking for folks who had a lot of the things we would want to see in a librarian. So we were looking at, of course, strong instructional practices. We were looking at folks who had leadership experience already, who were engaged in collaborative practices, and people who would be ready to hit the ground running. That, you know, of course we wanted them to have a passion for literacy, but we realized that those strengths with teaching, the strengths with collaboration, the ability to step into a leadership role really are what set the librarians up for success and really benefited the schools the most. But the cohort's a pretty amazing opportunity. The school district pays for a portion of their master's degree in exchange for them, the cohort members agreeing to work in a CCSD library for at least 5 years. We've had two of the cohorts actually graduate. So our second cohort graduated in December, which was really, really exciting. But those cohort members are joining schools and they are standouts. They are the ones who now are taking on leadership roles within our school library family. They are ones who are becoming their school's teachers of the year. They're the ones serving on district committees and really making a difference.
You mentioned the importance of leadership roles for librarians in schools. Could you elaborate a little on maybe community goals they try to reach?
I love the Shirley Chisholm quote, you know, if they don't offer you a seat at the table, bring your own chair. And so that's kind of been our attitude, that we are the only position in the school that works with every student and every teacher in an instructional capacity. So we should be there where decisions are being made, especially about anything involving literacy. So we really encourage our folks to be involved and not just to be in charge of the book fair, which is important and is a big deal, but to also be on the school leadership team, to be part of committees that are making decisions about scheduling, because we want our folks to be visible.
Speaking of being visible, I believe you set up a social media campaign, Vocal, for increasing visibility for librarians. Could you maybe talk a little about that?
We have a Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram account, which is Voices of CCSD's Amazing Librarians. That's what VOCAL stands for, but it was to make sure that we could be heard. We wanted to share what fantastic things are going on in the library. So the idea was to share all the different types of activities that are happening in the library, that yes, it is the read alouds that are helping young readers, you know, love being read to, love books, love being in the library, but it's also working with makerspaces. It's also collaborative activities. It's also the research. And sometimes it's just the library being that safe space for all our students. We've done a lot of promoting about the library being very inclusive. We've worked really hard to build our inclusive collections, and now we're really focusing on inclusive practices. We really want to make sure that in our libraries, everybody knows they're welcome.
Getting into our theme of literacy, what's literacy to you? How would you define it?
Let's see. Literacy really is the foundation for everything. We look at instructionally, of course, the older students get that, you know, they go from learning to read to reading to learn, and the library supports the instructional aspect of it, but there's also the recreational reading needs and being able to find things that you're interested in, being able to explore those more deeply, and that's deeply tied to literacy, all of that. So I don't know that this is probably the official definition, but literacy is everything. It's definitely connected to everything, especially when we think about students growing themselves, both academically and then just growing themselves as people.
So literacy being everything, did you come with that belief, or was there some light bulb moment at the beginning in your career?
I think when I was in library school, the light bulb moment was one of our weekly assignments where we had to watch this little video snippet from Rudine Sims Bishop about mirrors and windows and sliding glass doors. And that to me was a turning point for how I looked at literacy as far as needing to be available for all students and really wanting them to be able to see themselves in, you know, books as mirrors, but being able to see others and think of or be able to experience the world beyond their front door or their neighborhood with those windows, and then having the sliding glass doors, being able to go back and forth, building that empathy, building that understanding, building curiosity, and just realizing that if students don't have those windows and mirrors, that it's really a disservice to them.
Brilliant. Do you have any, or what advice would you give for like potential students of the School of Information Sciences?
Get started now. Do it, do it, do it. I think I would definitely encourage them to take full advantage of the professors and all the knowledge the professors have, because the professors really are so willing to share, and USC has a pretty impressive faculty as far as their experiences. So definitely take advantage of the expertise of the instructors, but then also reach out and start connecting with practicing professionals. So there's different assignments, you know, throughout the program where you have to interview a, you know, current librarian. Take full advantage of those.
That's excellent. You mentioned earlier talking about making libraries more diverse, more inclusive spaces. Do you have any like special projects coming up that you could share with us, or plans for the future?
Well, we have, over the past, gosh, I guess 3 years, we started doing strategic collection development plans, which sounds like a fancy name of basically really looking closely at our collections to make sure that if any money did come our way, what are the actual specific needs of our collection? And we've added a diversity component to that to make sure that what we're looking at, that we're not just thinking, oh, we need, you know, to update our fiction collection. Well, do we need more books that feature, you know, positive representations of Asian Americans? Do we need more books that share about the Jewish experience or about the Muslim American experience? So I'm glad that that is now kind of embedded, and that is one of our practices, and that's something that guides what we do. But we are going to be, we briefly touched the surface, this whole COVID pandemic thing threw some wrenches in our plans, like everybody else. But with our focus on inclusive practices, we're really wanting to start looking at our policies and procedures, those day-to-day things, and look at how is that impacting access. So we know we are saying we want the library to be welcoming, but do we have things that are in place either at a school level or even at a library level that are making non-users out of some of our students? So we want to really take a look at that, and then also what kind of programming, whether passive or active programming, can we be doing? So are we saying that we have LGBTQ materials in our library? Are those regularly featured as part of displays? Or are they just books on the shelves? Because we can have the right books on the shelves, but if the kids don't know they're there, we're missing our mark. And are we taking advantage to highlight excellence, you know, from different cultures and different people throughout the year? Or are we saving all of our, you know, books about African Americans just for February? Or are those being featured again throughout the year? Are we highlighting intersectionality? Are we really embracing ways to show our kids mirrors and windows?
Sounds like you've got a lot ready to get going.
It's something I'm pretty excited about.
Sounds exciting. Is there anything I didn't cover that you really think we ought to know that you'd love to tell us?
I just briefly mentioned the partnership between our public library and our school library. That is something that started with summer reading and has really grown to something that is now throughout our school year. And they help us with grants. They are always there for us. We share programming. We try to help each other out publicizing programs. They helped us when we launched a different take on Read Across America. This year we focused on literacy and celebrating a nation of diverse readers this year for Read Across America Week. And the public library and the school district actually used the same theme, and they were part of our planning process. So they're just fantastic. And that's been something that we've been doing for 4 years. This is our fourth year doing summer reading with them. But what's happened in between the summer reading programs has been pretty amazing. So grateful for their support and partnership. Thank you so much for letting me be involved in this.
The pleasure was all mine. Well, this has been Robert Sokovitz talking to Miss Christine James. Thank you for your time.